Assuming you're in a situation where you can use clofarabine, whether it's approved or for whatever reason, what would you see right now today as its role outside a protocol setting, both with AML as well as MDS?
Well, the problem is that it's extremely expensive, as you know. So you have to be extremely cautious when you use this, because it may be that you or your patient may be facing a bill that, as far as I understand, is really outrageous. So,
well, that comes up a lot, but we also want to try to dissect out the clinical science. So let's, you know, assume we have, you know, a wealthy Texan or whatever. Somebody comes in there who said cost is not an issue. Would you utilize it in either one of those situations?
Yes, I think that that would be my first choice right now for a patient with MDS that has failed either 5-azacitidine or decitabine. So instead of using decitabine or 5-azacitidine in the reverse failure, my first line for a patient with relapse disease with high risk myelodysplastic syndrome right now will be IV clofarabine.
How about AML?
In AML also will be a choice, but the reality is that there are other approaches that you could use, for instance, with fludarabine-containing programs where there's significantly more experience and probably these cost issues are not so relevant. I think that my main use of this compound right now, off protocol, will be in the high-risk myelodysplastic syndrome with the data that we have for someone that has failed 5-azacitidine or decitabine. I think that's where the indication is more clear, and actually where if I was a patient and if I had that money, I would really make that investment on the therapy.
Where do you think things are heading in terms of utilizing the agent in AML, and what kind of research strategies are being looked at?
Well, as you know, there's studies that have been completed for approval in older AML, and I think that may be the major breakthrough for this compound, you know, and I think that that data is critical. The question is, so you could ask me, well, why don't you recommend it as frontline therapy in an untreated patient with AML? We need to see that data before we start replacing 7+3 for clofarabine. Now, why do I say that? First of all, because as opposed to the hypomethylating agents, the induction mortality is not 0 or 1%. So for instance, I will feel better nowadays using a hypomethylating agent off protocol from frontline AML than a drug like clofarabine, to be honest. And actually, I think most of our practice will be like that. I think that for a patient with high-risk MDS or acute myelogenous leukemia that does not fit one of our protocols, we tend to use more hypomethylating agent than a drug like clofarabine. Part of it could be the expense. Part of it also is what I mentioned earlier, is the lower mortality and better toxicity profile of a hypomethylating agent. So off protocol, that would be my first choice. And I believe actually that those compounds are approved, at least in their compendia, for a subset of patients with acute myelogenous leukemia, just because the way the original studies were performed. So for me to use now a drug like clofarabine off protocol will be that particular group of patients, patients with relapse, high risk MDS, or some AMS that they may have received a hypomethylating agent. I think that's right now one of the most exciting leads.
What are the designs of the studies out there looking at clofarabine and AML that we're sort of waiting on?
Basically, they are powered right now into response rates, as far as I understand.
What's the actual design? What's the randomization?
The study is actually a non-randomized single-arm strategy. So basically, they went to the FDA and they said, we have a response rate that I think is around 30%, but we need to search that. I think the FDA will say, yes, go ahead and go for it. I think that the next generation of studies are going to have more than that. They're going to have some type of either survival or progression-free survival type of quote. So for instance, the study that I'm more familiar with is the decitabine AML study. So interestingly, even if the decitabine MDS study for survival, in my opinion, was, and this is not quote-unquote anymore, so or off record, if the 5-ASA study was, in my opinion, kind of poorly designed, and I don't know exactly why, because the people that did that were very experienced, the AML study is actually a more robust study and actually may give us not only response data, but also some survival data. And the study thing involves several hundred patients and is powered to find that type of benefit. And it's also randomized against a cocktail of other interventions. So it's possible that in a couple of years, we may have some positive data with the decitabine in AML, which will make it interesting because we'll have negative data right now in MDS. It's possible that we may have positive data in AML, and then you have clofarabine. I think that this is all good news. We'll have a lot of drugs for our patients and a lot of other opportunities for more clinical research.